Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. For today, the phone lines are not open as we bring you a special teaching edition of Basic Gospel. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Last week, or maybe a couple of weeks ago, I received an email, and here's the first line of it. Mayday, mayday, I'm sinking. That'll get your attention.
It sure will.
And this gentleman went on to tell his story of struggle, a story of pain, a story of doubt, a story of fear. And it really struck me. And my heart went out to this guy as I read through his words. And let me just read a couple of things he said. I just want to ask, if I am one who struggles with being saved, how can I help my son see God as a loving God? I don't know if he is been chosen, don't know, but I don't want him to turn away from God's ways. I am what some have said to be a doubting Thomas. I know the only way to be saved is through faith in Christ, but faith is hard for me. I always seem to have a hope so, or I think maybe in the back of my mind. I've asked Christ to come into my life many times, but have never experienced the power of the Spirit that you talk about on your program. I no longer have the strength to continue the fight for God's invitation to the party you all enjoy, but I don't want to pull my son down with me. Sorry to sound so pathetic, I'm just tired of the struggle. I'd settle for a seat at the gates of heaven if there was a chance Christ might walk by once in a while. What should I say to my son? What a painful email.
Yeah.
But his story is not unique.
Not at all.
His story isn't just isolated to him. That was my story.
Yeah,
I think that was your story,
too.
Richard, and yours is as well. We all doubt. We all wonder. We all are fearful that God is not going to accept us. And that really is the deepest need of the human heart, is to know that God loves us, to experience that unconditional love, that unconditional acceptance. That is the deepest and most important need that we have as human beings, and only the gospel of Jesus Christ, and in particular, the resurrection of Christ Jesus, speaks into that situation. Apart from the resurrection, we would still struggle. We would still be seeking answers. We'd still be looking for hope. But with the resurrection, hope is injected into our day-to-day lives. Our struggle can come to an end. We can experience rest and peace. And that's what we want to spend some time talking about on today's broadcast. How can we end the struggle? How can we come to that point and really rest and what Christ has accomplished for us through his death, burial, and resurrection? How can we truly walk in the newness of life that's available to us in Christ Jesus? These are important questions. These are life-changing questions. These are the issues that we all deal with, that we all struggle with. And let me tell you, there is an answer, there is hope, and it's bound up in the resurrection of Christ Jesus. And that's what we're going to talk about on today's program.
It's a special teaching edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis. Thank you for sharing with us this particular time slot. And I want to remind you once again that the phone lines are not open today, so we can bring you this special edition of Basic Gospel.
Yes, indeed. Want to remind our listeners about our upcoming conference this Saturday out at the Valley Church in Vegaville, California. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful experience. And we're going to be talking about the answers that this gentleman is desperately seeking, how to end the struggle and how the gospel message really does speak into our lives. It's the way the Christian life is really supposed to work. We want you to understand that and learn to walk in that each and every day. So come and be a part of this conference. All the information on how to register, how to be a part of it, is available at basicgospel.net.
It's the Hear It, Believe It, Live It tour going to be at Valley Church in Vacaville, California. And thanks so much to our great affiliates out in Northern California, KDIA San Francisco, KFI in Sacramento, and the wonderful staff of each station, just so very supportive of the effort to get the word out.
Yes, indeed.
We appreciate them very, very much.
Yes, indeed. Well, back to our topic for the day, the resurrection of Jesus Christ and how that makes a difference in our day-to-day lives. That helps us come to a point where we're no longer struggling to find assurance, peace, or rest, that we're actually experiencing that by faith in Jesus Christ. And as far as this gentleman is concerned, he struggles with being saved. He's wrestling with that reality. Am I saved, or have I crossed a line that where I'm unreachable, where God's grace can't get to me? Well, I think we have to first step back and ask the question, what is salvation? What does it mean to be saved? And that is a huge topic. This is where so many people kind of miss the mark as far as the gospel message is concerned. We limit it to simply the death of Christ. Yes. That's part of the gospel message, but it's not the entirety. Paul talked about that in his letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15. He said, I'm passing on to you what I have received, those things that are of utmost importance. And what are they? The fact that Christ died according to scriptures, that he was buried, and then on the third day he was raised back to life, and he appeared to many, over 500 people. That is the gospel message. It's the death, the burial, and resurrection. In death, Jesus took away our sins. He died to take our punishment for us. He was buried to show that that had been fulfilled, that had been totally accomplished. And then he was raised back to life so that we could have new life. So what is salvation? It is simply this. It is being made alive together with Christ. Why? Why do we need life? Why do we need to be made alive? Because we were dead spiritually. That's what Adam and Eve brought into this world through their disobedience. When they sinned, death entered in, and death spread to all men. That includes you. That includes me. So we were dead. We were separated from the life of God. So that's why we need life. And Richard, you've talked about this story of Adam and Eve, the Genesis account, on numerous occasions. And we just can't talk about that enough to really understand why Christ had to do what he had to do.
Yeah, the idea of God creating humanity for his pleasure and purpose and the relationship that he had with Adam and Eve. And you realize that they were innocent. There was no such thing as sin for them to worry about. And yet they chose to believe a lie. They rebelled against God and said, no, we'll do it on our own. And God honored that request. So as soon as they made that choice to go it alone, they died spiritually because God removed himself from them spiritually. And therefore, they were on their own. Now, if I was God, I would have hit the reset button. Boom, gone, let's start over. God didn't do that. He comes to them, he tells them that there is going to be one who will restore this relationship. From the very first moment of sin, he began to initiate into humanity the fact that he wanted to save us. He didn't force himself. He didn't create us as robots, but he had this plan from before the foundation of the world that if we were to rebel, he had the solution. And so from that very beginning, when death becomes a reality, life has been promised. And all the way through the Old Testament, every one of those people who walked by faith in the promised Messiah was looking backwards to Adam and Eve, and to Abraham, and to Moses, and to Elijah and to all of the rest of the heroes there in the Bible, in the Old Testament, saying, we know this is coming. They never received it. Now, Hebrews tells us that. They had faith even though they didn't receive it. And then Jesus came and he fulfilled all of that. And now we have had restored in us what Adam and Eve lost in their rebellion. Yeah. It's so unbelievable. Yeah.
So Adam and Eve were alive.
They were alive.
And they chose death.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know it as such. They just listened to the serpent.
Yes.
They were deceived. They bought into the deception. They believed that lie. And in believing that lie, they chose death.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're born dead spiritually. We're separated from the life of God. Mm-hmm. But in believing truth about Jesus, we choose life.
Yes.
They were alive. They chose death. They believed a lie that brought death. We're dead. We receive truth. We believe truth. And we choose life.
Yes.
That's the good news of the gospel. So what is salvation? It's being made alive together with Christ. Mm-hmm. So it's Christ doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. That's what we call grace. That's how Paul couched it in his great letter to the Ephesians, particularly that passage in Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. It's by grace that we have been saved through faith. It's not of ourselves. This is a gift of God that no one can earn. That's the whole gospel message. But what is that grace? It's the grace that makes us alive together with Christ. So first and foremost, we need to know what salvation is. And I know for me, I wanted to be God's guy. That's what I wanted to be more than anything in life. I tried in high school. I didn't do a very good job. I was excited to graduate from high school, to go to college. I felt at college, I was going to start with a clean slate. It was going to be a fresh start for me. And this time I was going to do it. I really was going to be God's guy. And the more I tried, the tighter sin's grip became around me. And I finally gave up and said, I can't do this anymore. That's why my heart went out to this guy.
Yes.
When I read his email. I've been there. I know what that struggle is. I know what it is to doubt my salvation. I know what it is to pray night after night, week after week, for the Lord to come back into my life. Why? Because every time I sinned, I thought he left me.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, I got to a point and I thought, well, he's just permanently gone.
Yeah.
But that was my feelings. I was believing a lie about this gospel message. And it wasn't until I discovered that salvation is more than forgiveness that things changed for me. When I discovered at a Bible study in Atlanta, Georgia, under the teaching of a guy named Dan DeHaan, young, vibrant, dynamic teacher, started teaching through the book of Colossians and talking about the fact that in the uncircumcision of our sinful flesh, God made us alive together with Christ. He forgave all our sins. And something clicked for me. That's it. That's what I'm missing. I'm missing out on the life of Christ. Jesus is alive. That's the good news. Well, it means something to me right now. That's when things started to change for me. I started to learn that faith was simply abiding in the resurrected Christ who was living inside of me. Now, I didn't have it all figured out by any stretch of the imagination, but I started down the right path. It was no longer up to me. It was no longer on my shoulders. I was no longer reliant on human effort. It was Christ. I was going to trust Christ and leave the results of that to him. So that's where we have to start. We have to start with the resurrected Jesus coming to live inside of us. That is salvation. Well, you're listening to Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher, along with Richard Pfeiffer and Bob Davis. This is a listener-supported broadcast. We rely on gifts from people just like you to help us get the word out. And it is important to get the word of God out and into the lives of people. When that happens, folks are connected to the love of Jesus Christ. They're connected to the life of Christ. Lives change. Incredible things take place. So make an investment today in the lives of people by investing in Basic Gospel.
And for each one of you who can make a gift to Basic Gospel at this time, we have a copy of Andrew Farley's popular book, The Naked Gospel, for you. And that's for a gift, as I said, of any amount to the ministry right now. You'll find the online support link. It's available right now and around the clock at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Or during Central Time office hours, you can speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. That's 844-41-BASIC. Either way, a good way to support Basic Gospel.
Yes, indeed. Well, one of the things in this email was this line where he says, faith is so hard, but faith is hard for me. I certainly identified with that. Yeah. And I think most of us can identify with that. We don't spend enough time talking about faith. We say we're to live by faith, but we really don't give any practical handles on how that's to spell itself out in day-to-day life. We've been crucified with Christ. We no longer live. Christ lives in me, but the life we live in this body, we live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What in the world does that look like on a day-to-day basis? What is faith? If the way the Christian life is supposed to work is by grace through faith, what's the faith element look like?
Well, I believe there are two parts of it. One is the realization that I really do have life, and it can't be taken away from me. This is the hope aspect of faith, because Jesus was successful, because he was completely victorious, and because his return is guaranteed. Therefore, our ultimate resurrection life is guaranteed. Therefore, I'm alive, and nothing and no one can take that away from me. Well, now what do I do with it? That's part B. I have to take that life that I've been given and rehearse. Our friend Andrew talks about faith as a matter of daily choices. Moment by moment, we're making choices. Well, how do you make that choice? You have to rehearse what it is that you have in Christ. I am forgiven because I am in Christ. I am eternally alive because I am in Christ. I have the Holy Spirit living in me because I am in Christ. I have the mind of Christ because I have the Holy Spirit. And all these great themes. Then I say, if that is true, then maybe this choice facing me, I can make the choice based on what the Spirit wants rather than what the flesh is trying to force me to do. And sometimes it takes just that much talking to ourselves. We have to rehearse the truths of what we've been given in Christ so that we can apply those truths to this very moment. I can't apply them to tomorrow. I can't even apply them a millisecond from now. I can only apply them to the decision in this moment to trust that those things are true, and therefore to let the indwelling Holy Spirit inform my mind so that I can choose wisely. Now, that sounds really complicated, but it's not. The complicated part of it is that that's not our normal habit. Our normal habit is to respond to the flesh. Boy, that looks good. I wish I could have that. And then our emotions get involved, and our thinking goes right out the window. And we just react and react and react. And that's such a habit that the at least initially, making these conscious choices to choose differently are foreign to us. It's not a habit. And the Holy Spirit, this is why forgiveness is so important. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us, knows that we're going to fail, but never condemns us, right? If the Spirit condemned me, I would be dead. But the Spirit never condemns me, never condemns you who are listening, but rather says, let me teach you how to avoid this next time. And how does he teach us? He says, do you realize that you're alive in Christ? Do you realize that you're forgiven and you always will be forgiven? You can't lose it. Do you realize that I'm here? I'm the mind of Christ living in you. Let's reason together now. Let's learn together. And this conversation begins to take place in the Spirit, and we slowly learn a new habit. And it's just as real as anything you've ever done in your life. In fact, it becomes more real because Jesus is the only truth. Everything around us in this world system is at least partially a lie. Jesus is the truth, and Holy Spirit will teach us that truth and set us free so that we can choose differently. That's faith.
And that's the operative aspect of it, the fact that Jesus is fully engaged with us.
Yes.
He doesn't come and live inside of us and then take a nap in there and then leaves it up to us to figure it all out. He is fully engaged with us every moment of every day. That's the renewing of the mind process. So we're going to struggle with guilt, and that guilt is going to be due to sins that we commit in our lives. Yeah. And when that happens, we're going to struggle with the truth of forgiveness. Has Christ forgiven that sin or hasn't he? Mm-hmm. But Jesus is fully engaged with us, and his Spirit is going to renew our minds and bring us to this point that we are fully persuaded that forgiveness is ours. Mm-hmm. When that happens, there's going to be an overflow of thankfulness in our hearts. It's not something that we muster up. It's not something that we fake, that we just throw out there. It's something that genuinely flows from within. Why? Because Jesus Christ has engaged himself with us on this issue of forgiveness, is renewing our minds, and is bringing our minds in alignment with the truth where we're fully persuaded. That's what faith is. I'm going to trust Jesus to do that work inside of me.
Yes.
Well, when I'm fully persuaded, well, if you've offended me, if there's forgiveness that needs to happen between us as individuals, this truth that God has already planted deep within my soul can be lived out in this experience. But it's a process, isn't it?
Sure.
It's not
a never-ending process. Until Jesus comes back, we will be learning how to do this.
Yes. So it's not a magic wand. There is no magic wand. There's no silver bullet. There's no any of those things that we look for in life just to change things in an instance. We want to be engaged in this process. So how do we express the life of Christ? Well, one of the ways is through forgiveness, one to another. There's this idea of righteousness, this reality of righteousness. We've been declared righteous. I think that's proof that our sins have been taken away once and for all, as well as the fact that Christ lives in us. He's not going to live in us if there's still sin left unpunished, left undealt with. God's dealt with it all. And so as a result of that, he comes to live inside of us. So his presence is inside of us is guarantee that his work on the cross is complete, that it's done, that God the Father is satisfied with it. So we have to understand that we are righteous, that God has declared us to be that we're in right standing with him. That's good news. That's great news. And because it's such great news, we can go through this world with an attitude of confidence, not cockiness, not pride, but confidence, knowing that God is indeed for us and that he has our best interests at heart. That's what it means to walk by faith. So if you're struggling, first of all, rest in the fact that Jesus Christ is alive, living in you, that salvation is receiving new life, that you've gone from death to life. Would you thank God for that? Would you right now get on your knees and say, Lord Jesus, thank you that you've made me alive together with your son Jesus, and that we can have fellowship and a relationship one with another. Two, we also thank the Lord that he has taken away all of your sins, that you are a forgiven person. This will get you on the right path And as you continue to walk down that path, you will see your struggle start to diminish day after day after day. That's the good news of the gospel. That's why it's important for us to know that Jesus Christ is alive, living inside of us.
And those are things to absolutely be thankful for. Thanks, Bob, and thanks, Richard, for the wonderful input on today's broadcast. Don't forget, the tour starts at Vacaville, California at Valley Church this Saturday. All the information online at basicgospel.net for the Hear It, Believe It, Live It tour, the first stop. Well, now for Bob and Richard and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.